Have your Bibles tonight. You go ahead and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Look at the things about the ministry of Christ this evening. Luke chapter 4. And we'll be reading verse 14 through 22. And I'm using a strange Bible tonight. I'm using my wife's Bible. I guess with mine is either at Hope or at the house. So I had to borrow my wife's Bible this evening. So hopefully it's a King James she has. I guess it is. It is. I'm just joking. I got in trouble last week by joking, so I'm just joking. It is a King James Bible. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, as always, we want to thank you for the day and for your many blessings. Thank you for your mercies that are new every day. And Lord, thank you that, Lord, that we can come before you in prayer, not because of who we are, but because of what your Son has done for us. And Father, we come this evening, Lord, we ask you the requested dimension, Lord, just we ask again that you would take care of those, and more especially of Brother the Roberts, as he's probably traveling now, and then Hannah, as she's either in surgery now or maybe this evening sometime. And Father, just pray you would have your way there. And Father, Lord, I pray now you would open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things in thy law. Lord, I acknowledge there's nothing that we can do unless you bless it, Father, and unless you open our eyes and illuminate thy word to us. Father, Lord, I pray that would be done this evening. Accomplish your will in our lives, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. If you have a stand, go ahead and stand. We were in Luke chapter 4. We read verses 14 through 22. Verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. That's an important phrase we're going to see later. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there were delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to his minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Thank you. You're going to have a seat. Now, if you would go ahead and turn back to he quoted there out of Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. We're going to see here the scripture that he quoted from. Isaiah 61. He quoted here from verse 1 and 2. So we saw there in Luke that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He was there in his hometown and he was preaching. And he read these two verses. Isaiah 61, verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to the bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, in the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Verse 2, "to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That's over in Luke 4, but it said, "in the day of vengeance of our God." He did not keep in mind that he did not quote that verse. Now turn back over to Luke chapter 4. We're going to look at a couple things tonight about the ministry of Christ. We're going to look at the magnitude of his ministry. And we're going to look at the message of his ministry, and then the mystery of his message, or of his ministry. Let's look at, first of all, at verse 18, Luke 4, the second part of verse 18, it says, "Because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." The first thing we would look at this evening, is that his ministry is to the world. And then look back at our verse, "He preached the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable of our Lord. So we're going to look at a couple of these things individually this evening. The first thing we're looking at, we're going to look at, he came to preach the gospel to the poor. It's to herald the good news to those who are destitute of wealth, position, and influence. To herald the good news, the gospel, to those who were destitute of wealth, position, and influence. And let's see there in Matthew 11. Go ahead and turn back to Matthew 11. We'll go through all these things that we'll tie it together. Book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28. We see that he came to preach the gospel to the poor. Matthew 11:28. We see here he preached. 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all the heavy labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Then to turn back to Isaiah 55:1. Again, he came to preach the gospel to the poor, to all people. Isaiah 55:1. Isaiah 55:1 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye the waters, and he have no money, come over, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." So we see that when Christ came, he came to preach the gospel to the poor. So we know in his ministry that's what he did. The second thing he did, he came to heal the broken hearted. There, I look at the word. It means to cure those who have suffered extreme sorrow. When Christ came to preach to the lost, he also could come to heal those that are broken hearted. You know, in our lives, there are times when there's going to be a time of deep sorrow in our lives. I know, pick up Brother Davis. You know, it might be tomorrow. Something happened in his life that hurts him all the way to the quick. It might be something transpires there that it hurts him and it overwhelms him. You know, it's the point, you know, he's almost broken. He's heavy hearted. Christ came to minister to the lost, but he also came to minister to those that was hurting. You know, I'm thankful this evening to know that God knows. Turn back, if you would, to the book of Job. Turn back toward the book of Job, in chapter 23, verse 10. Some things to keep in mind whenever we are heavy-hearted, when we're broken because of extreme sorrow. A couple of things to keep in mind here in Job chapter 23. Look at Job chapter 23 and verse 10. Job 23:10 says, "But he knoweth the way I take. When he tried me, I will become forth as gold. He knoweth the way that I take." I'm thankful. Make sure I'm going the right direction. Make sure I'm not getting ahead of myself. This evening, I'm thankful to know that whatever Brother Davis, whatever he goes through, God knows. God knows the way that I take. When God comes to reach the lost, Christ also comes to heal those that are brokenhearted. And folks, no matter what we're going through, He knows. Not only does He know, but for 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." God, with God knows what we're going through, and God cares what we're going through. And there are times when we're heavy hearted, and we're hurting, and I don't know that God knows and God cares. But also, he said in Hebrews, he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." It's Brother Hadley now. You're not Brother Hadley, you're Brother Hadley. Brother Hadley, you know, whatever he's going through, God knows. And God cares. Not only does he know and he care, but God is there with him. I think it was a season that when Christ came to heal the broken heart, he came to work in the lives of individuals. So we see first of all that Christ came to work in the lives of the lost. He came to proclaim the gospel to them. He came to heal those that were broken hearted. And then turn back over to the book of Luke again, chapter 4. Luke, we see number one, he came to preach the gospel to the poor. Number two, he came to heal the brokenhearted. And then number three, Luke chapter 4. He preached the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach and deliver to the captives. Christ came to preach to the lost. He came to the brokenhearted, but he also came to retrieve the captives. There are folks today in this world that are lost, and they're held captive by sin. If you get down that Elmwood tonight over in Goshen, where do you want to go? There's people that are lost, but they're so bound by sin, they think, man, you know, I can never get away from this or this or this, and they name to you things that has them bound. I think of the demonic of Gadara there. I think and I get to the word in the book of Mark. You know, the book of Gadara, when Christ came, he freed that man. He came and he freed them. He wants to free those that are lost, but not only does he want to free the ones that are lost, but also he wants to free the ones that are bound by sin. There are a lot of folks in this world, there are a lot of Christians that at one time loved the Lord. They were on fire for God, and they was faithful to the house of God. And then somewhere along the line, they just kind of began to walk away like Demas did from Paul. This is the Demas that he loved in this present world. There are a lot of people today that have walked away, and now they're bound by sin. And sin is real in their life, and they are bound by sin. I think of Samson there in the Old Testament. He got further and further away from God. All of a sudden, he ended up there with his eyes poked out. He was going around. You know, he was pushing that thing around and around and around. That's where sin leads. Sin always leads to bondage. But I'm thankful this evening that Christ came to release those that were there in bondage. So we see number one, he came to preach the lost. Number two, he came to heal the brokenhearted. Number three, we see that he came to deliver the captives. And then again, it said the next phrase there is to recover the sight of the blind. The sight of the blind, I looked it up, is to give sight to those who are blinded by smoke. Begin to think, Lord, what's that? To give sight to those who are blinded by smoke. Turn if you would over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. See, again, just rehearse it. Christ came to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. And now we're at number four. He came to recover the sight of the blind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. We're going to read a couple of verses here. At this point, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In whom the God's world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." Now if you would turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14. I think 2 Corinthians is what I wrote down. I typed it, but I only typed half the word out. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14. It said, but their minds were blinded for until this day. Remaineth the same veil taken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So we see there are some that are blinded. Look over 1 Timothy 4:1. 1 Timothy 4:1. There are some that are blinded or deceived about salvation. There are some also that are blinded about scriptures and doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and to doctrines. There are some today that are lost, that are so blinded by Satan, they think they're okay. They think everything's okay. I'm fine. There's nothing wrong. Everything is all good. And there are some people today that are Christians and have been taught right. They've been taught sound doctrine. They've been taught what's wrong. The doctrines of the Word of God, the doctrines of the Church. They've been taught all these things. And somewhere along the way, they got some false teaching. And they begin to pull away and away and away. And now they think they're okay, but their eyes are blinded. When Christ came, He came to recover the sight of the blind. So He preached the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind. And then the number 5, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That means to release from bondage those who have been crushed or oppressed. We live in a world today where oppression is at an all-time high in our society, in our world. The oppression, the people that are bruised are oppressed. And we live in a world today when the devil has so oppressed, I believe, not only individuals but towns. If you go to Elmwood, it's oppressing. Because there's so much oppression there among the people. You walk into town, and the whole town says it's oppressed. Not only does he oppress, not only does Satan oppress the lost to keep away from the Word of God, but also I believe he oppresses the Christian as well. There are some folks that just, Christians that have no hope. I mean, they have lost their joy, and they've lost their zeal, they've lost their desire, and they've just lost hope. What's the use? Why go on? There's a Sunday class on Sunday morning. We talk about how King Solomon, he got this point. He said, "What's the use? Why even go on?" And they begin to look at life and under the sun, and they just say, "You know, preacher, I just don't know why. But I'm done." And some people just sit down and they quit. They lose the zeal, the desire, the drive to go. But I'm thankful that when Christ came, He came to minister to them and set them at liberty. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians 10:5, 2 Corinthians 10:5. We're still looking here at point number one, the magnitude of His ministry. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Great verse. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We've seen so far the things these people go through and what the Scripture says about it. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "Casting out imagination, every high thing is exalting itself against the knowledge of God, and brand new captivity with every thought to the obedience of Christ. We see here that there is hope for those that are bruised. Number one, to preach the gospel to the poor. Number two, to heal the brokenhearted. Number three, to give the deliverance to the captives. Number four, to recover the sight of the blind. Number five, to set liberty to those that are bruised. And then number six, the last magnitude, is to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Just to remind folks, He's here. He's here for He's here to do these things. So that's the magnitude of his ministry. Everything that he came to do. And then number two, the message of his ministry. Turn back to Luke chapter 4, and we're getting to the last part, my favorite part. Luke chapter 4. We've seen the magnitude, and now we're going to look at the message of his mission, verse 20 and 21. And he closed the book. We see that he had just read those things. Verse 20, and he closed the book of Isaiah, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. His message was, that's me. I came to do these things. His message was, I came to reach the lost, to heal the brokenhearted, to open the eyes of the blind. I came to do all these things. And his message was Christ. Why? Because it says this in Luke 19, Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so when Christ came, when he came as the Son of God in the flesh to die for our sin. So we see that his message was the message of salvation, the message of Christ. Then on point number three, back up to verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Says this. The first part of the scripture said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The mystery here of his ministry was the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I read that, I stopped, I thought, Christ didn't start his earthly ministry until the Spirit of the Lord rested upon him. There at his baptism, the Holy Spirit of God came down and rested upon him. He started his earthly ministry. Here a short time later, we see that he preaches these things out of Isaiah. And again, he starts with the phrase, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Over the book of Ephesians, we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. And begin to think, Lord, what is all this, and what's that to do with hospitality? And then the thought came. There, he didn't say the last phrase in the vengeance of the Lord, because he's still working now. He was working there in Luke chapter 4. He was working there. I need a couple guys. Brother Davis, Corby, Brother York, you three will have to do. Okay. It's a team right down front. Okay. We're going to see that Corby is a poor, wretched, unloving, unworthy, lost man. And Brother York, Brother York is going to be the brokenhearted, the one that has gone through extreme sorrow in his life. With Brother, what's your name? Davis. Thank you. With Brother Davis, at some point has been taken captive by Satan. And then next to him is somebody that the Satan has blinded their minds. And then next to him is someone that is oppressed. Christ didn't say that last phrase from Isaiah because he was there in the lives of these folks at that time. He came for each of them. And then the time came when he went to heaven. These folks are still here. Every day we come across the lost, the hurting, the blinded, all five of these groups that we see in the night, we see every day. Christ still wants to reach them. He's not here. How does he reach them? Where's Scott? He's right there. That guy up here, he's hurting so bad. Something bad happened in his life. Would you just go tell him that you love him and you pray for him and you care for him? Go over into that. Number two. Let's go up to number two and tell him you love him and you're praying for him. It's when Brother Scott is tuning in to the Spirit of God. But he knows he's Scott. He's right with the Lord. He's tuned in the Spirit of God. He's saying, Lord, help me be hospitable. Lord, I know you want me to be hospitable. Lord, I know that you came for these folks. Lord, help me be sensitive to your leadership in my life. Lord, help me to reach other folks. As he begins to pray for those folks and yearn to help them, the Holy Spirit of God directs him who to pray for, who to go to. So it's all about having the Spirit of God. And folks, we have this. If you're here, you have this Spirit of God. The question is not how much of Him do we have, but how much of Him, how much of us does He have? The more I give myself to God, the more I surrender to the Holy Spirit, the more tender I am, you know, and the more I seek to please Him, to please God, the more He shows forth in my life. Christ started his earthly ministry after he was filled with the hope of the Holy Spirit of God. We're here and we're saved. If you're saved, you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He will continue his work in the lives of all these individuals through us. Through us. As I say tender, and I want to please him, and I begin to pray, there'll be folks that come across our paths. It might be that they have nothing. It might be they have nothing to eat. It might be that they're poor. That maybe God might bring them across our path, so we can give them the gospel and share with them the plan of salvation. Maybe God would bring somebody across our path that is just broken. I mean, completely broken, and they just gave up. And God might bring them upon our path. That we might minister to them. God wants to use each of us. If you're here and you're saved, if you can sit down, thank you. If you're here and you're saved, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. The question is not will God use you or what will God use me, but will I allow God to use me? Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to minister to those five groups that we've just seen. And he fulfilled his ministry. Now he wants us to continue fulfilling that ministry. Are we willing? Are we willing to say, Lord, here am I. Use me. It might cost us some time. It might cost us having to get on our knees and say, God, please help so-and-so. It might cost us our billfold sometimes. Sometimes God might say, give so-and-so something. They need it today. It might cost us some pride. But I'm going to say, brother, I love you. I'm just praying for you today. Just tell somebody that we love them. It might cost a phone call. It might cost writing a card. But whatever the cost is, oh, how sweet to know that God's working in our lives. My challenge this evening is this. Realize that God wants to use us. to work in the lives of folks around us. All five of these groups are still here today. They're here in Goshen, they're down in Elmwood, they're in Loveland, wherever you want to go, all five groups are here. Question is, not are they here? Who's reaching them? Who has a burdened heart? Says, oh God, use me. God, what can I do? Lord, what can I do to help so and so? And then when God directs us, then let's just do what God said to. How tuned in are we? How much are we listening to God? It's not that God's not speaking. There's the book of Psalms, chapter 81, 82, somewhere in the 80s. You know, with the Lord talking, he said, I spoke, and you've not listened, basically. He's speaking. Are we listening? Unfortunately, sometimes it takes a valley in our lives to get us to listen. Sometimes it takes a broken heart to get us where we just stop and we listen. It gets to a point where we have to reach the end of our rope till we're broken, and then we say, okay, God, what can I do to help others? Because once we're broken, and then we seem to have a burden for other folks as well. This evening, do we have a burden for these five groups? Do we have a burden? Number two, are we willing to say, Christ, please minister to them through me? And then we listen to Him and as He directs us to these folks. Every day, I believe there's folks that web across our paths that need our help. It might be a comforting word. It might be a card. It might be a phone call. It might be, I love you. It might be some money. Whatever it is, but God wants to work. Are we allowing Him to work in our lives? Let's all stand with heads bowed and eyes closed.